shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Yes, indeed, the winds have changed.
Have they changed?
They have. They have. I'm sorry. They have.
Yes, they have.
No, I'm trying to figure out how to respond, how to effectively propagate the faith, or to bring people to faith in Christ Jesus, and for a deep-seated need for the church, the mystical body of Christ. I think we too often people think of the church as an institution, and mm-hmm. it is. But it's necessary that it is institutionalized because it's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you how. By the way, welcome everybody.
Welcome,
did I say that
Father.
Already? I don't know if I said that.
We just went right into it. That was just a bold
right
opening statement.
Because I got a lot of things on my mind, and I'm just trying to figure this stuff out.
Right.
That's the thing. We've had confessions all week for the kids, and last night we had the first confessions.
Mm-hmm.
It's always very, very nice. It's just a very moving experience mm-hmm. because the children, they come up. We had a little prayer service before, and... Well, let's say we had a rehearsal. I'll have to tell you about that. And then we'll get into this again, you know, mm-hmm. however the Spirit leads us.
Exactly.
I'm hoping it's the Spirit of God that's guiding us. You know, it's not, I'm sure my spirit gets in the way, but as Christina knows, and we probably say this almost every day, but we're so stressed out.
We are.
Everything is good. So much is happening.
Yeah. I sense it.
Exactly. You're just going from one thing to the next,
and there's no let up.
Trying to focus, and mm-hmm. it's. I just don't think life should be this way, but it is. But it is, and so we have to kind of go with the flow and trust that you know we're gonna make things work, and they seem to work. You know. But
it's
anyway,
just getting there.
It's getting there.
There, yeah.
It's getting there.
It always works out, but it's just
well, we
it's
hope
a
it
does.
So, thank God so far it has. You know, you always wonder, at what point is it all going to come crashing down?
You know why it
down?
Works out?
Why?
You know why? Because God is in control.
He's in control.
Well, trust me.
If God is in control, then we should just chill, right?
Does it work that way?
And no, I start panicking, freaking out. Ah.
I know. It's just so people understand, and we... Again, it's like beating a dead horse, and I know you're not supposed to say that. That's what is that group that the animal? I love the animals.
Animal cruelty.
Where does that come from anyway? Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's high cruelty.
Have you ever heard that before?
Beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? I don't know. Anyway,
it's the things people say.
Or another way of saying is sound like a broken record.
Right.
Sound like a broken record. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Maybe that's a much more.
My question is, why would you keep beating that dead horse?
I don't know where that comes from, but I say it all the time, you know.
It's a saying.
Or
same old.
You know, oh, that's the horse of another color.
Right.
I know
oh,
that
yeah.
comes from the Wizard of Oz, right?
Right?
Oh,
you
can't
say that now either.
It does, yeah.
Oh, that's where you got it from?
Yes.
Because you always say it.
I do say it all
Ever
the time.
Since I started working here, that quote.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something to kind of stay with you.
Yes.
And I like horses, you know, so that's the horse of a different color. It's, I forgot the other one. Like beating a dead horse.
Yeah, I'll get you, my pretty. That's the only thing I can think of.
Right. I'll get you, my pretty.
That was a good movie.
It
you know,
was the best.
We always looked forward to that.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a little bit. I'm going to be all over the place as I always am. But as kids, we looked forward to that one time a year when The Wizard of Oz would come on TV.
Yep.
You know, now you can. You see, kids don't have to wait anymore for anything. Everything is downloaded.
It's instantaneous. Yeah.
We had a, and so what we in the meantime, what would we do? We play games. We did things. You know, we passed the time doing nice things, wonderful things. We had a good. I love my childhood. I think back.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and she said, "You know, when we were kids, it was a punishment if we were not allowed to go outside because kids played outside."
Right.
Now. It's not because people...
It's a punishment to send them outside.
Yes. They want to be inside, you know, with their phones or computers.
Well, that's what we're going to get into today, yeah. I think, I hope, you know. But let me tell you about the...
The good old days.
The munchkins. No, the little ones. And probably not even to say munchkins. It's probably not nice to say that either, is it? You know, you don't know what to say anymore.
But that comes from The Wizard of Oz, too.
As a matter of fact,
everything comes from The Wizard of Oz.
It does. So we were formed in The Wizard of Oz, you see.
Follow the yellow brick road. Oh, my.
But, you know, it's a beautiful, actually, it's a very biblical.
Yes, it has a lot of
parable. It's like it's a biblical parable. Well, we won't get into all that
just
right now.
Just the ideas. This will be the last thing because we can stay to
something. Well, it may not be the last thing. So.
But I mean, the whole ideas
that
The Wizard of Oz, you know, the courage and togetherness. And it's
right.
Great.
Yeah, you needed. Yeah, we could do a whole show on that. You could.
Yep.
You could. But anyway, but to call the second graders munchkins probably isn't a good thing to do.
We could say the little ones.
The little ones.
We could say the little people, precious ones, but it's the same.
Or the precious ones, my precious.
My precious. That gets us into this other,
the Lord
of the Rings, which was one of my favorite movies as well, the trilogy.
Yeah.
I watched that over and over and over. Sometimes I'd get fixated on these things.
Some people say there's only one trilogy, and that's Star Wars.
I tried, but I can't get into the
original Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not what's out now.
Who was it? Our friend Luz.
Yeah.
His son is into Star Wars, and he sent me the whole. It's more than a trilogy.
Yeah.
There's maybe six movies or something. Yeah,
yeah.
The original three are the only ones you need to know.
Really? Well, he told me
four, five, and six.
Okay, though. I think he told me to start with four.
Mm-hmm.
But I just it depresses me because it's...
How many times have you seen it?
I've never... I only tried to watch it, but
once.
I couldn't.
See, if you've only seen it once.
Didn't even see the whole thing.
Okay, then you've got to see it
ten
times.
The ambiance I didn't like. You know, what I like is...
You're not into the science fiction.
Not at all.
Some people are not into that.
Right. I like the medieval...
Sure.
Robin Hood and,
you
know, King Arthur, The Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
I like that stuff. I like the ambiance and the... Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's two kinds of people, sometimes three, either Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or a little bit of both, like Nick, I can tell.
Nick is a little bit of both. He's into all that stuff.
I'm more of a Star Wars guy, so...
That's okay.
No, it's okay.
We're all different.
I met a lot of our parents last night because they... Well, let me tell you a little bit about the
first communicants.
The little ones, the children... So I had a rehearsal in the afternoon. The teacher said, can we have a rehearsal? Because, of course, they're going to do one of the readings. And they're second graders. You got to imagine they're second graders. And so they have they do the examination of the conscience, the reading. There's a whole petitions, whatever. Right. There's a whole series of things they do. And they try to get as many involved as they can before the confession.
Right.
And then, of course, I read the story of the prodigal son. I have to change a little bit here, you know, because instead of saying that the young man squandered his wealth on prostitution and all that kind of stuff, a life of dissipation. Dissipation, what is dissipation? Well, you know, I said doing very, very bad things, you know. I think I mentioned prostitution, but I try not to mess with the scripture.
Yes.
But in any case, but you got to bring it down to their level, right? And it's not easy for me to do because I'm so...
It's not easy for most people.
I'm very sophisticated and I'm very... I'm just joking, tongue in cheek, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, at the rehearsal, We went through everything, you know, they went through their readings and all that. And then after it was all over, then I told them, of course, you know, this is, at this point, you know, you're going to bring your family up. We invite the families to come. You come up to the sanctuary, and you'll introduce to me whoever you bring with me, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, whatever. Introduce me to the family. Then I bring the child up, and we have the confession. So we have an open confession so everybody can see. We're in the sanctuary, and it's their first confession. Generally speaking, my preference is behind the screen. Our confessionals are traditional confessionals here. And it's just a very moving experience, you know, to meet the families, to find out a little bit about them, because you'd be surprised what you can learn in just a few minutes. Like, yes. Where were you raised? You know, had a number of people raised from the South Side. I said, that's okay. It's all right. You know, you're here in our neck of the woods now. And neck of the woods, what does that mean? But whatever. And I didn't realize a lot of our students come from Humboldt Park.
Really?
Yeah, they live in Humboldt Park. That's where my father was raised there.
Huh.
But because a number of the families yesterday were from there. So, which is just right. It's a neighboring neighborhood, Chicago City of neighborhoods. So after the rehearsal, I started to leave, and the teacher said, no, one of the students had a question. So I said, okay, what's your question? He said, is everybody going to hear the confession? I said, no, nobody's going to hear the confession, you know. And so I started to walk away, and another student had a question, and it was the same thing.
Right.
Are you going to wear a microphone? You know, is everybody going to?
Is this being recorded?
Is this going to be? Yeah, everybody. They kept asking the same question. They were so afraid that people were going to hear their confessions.
Their terrible sins.
And I says, unless you shot them out, you know. But but I said, you whisper, I whisper. I said, I whisper, you'll whisper. Mm-hmm. Only, you know, I will hear, you will hear, and Jesus will hear. You know, but nobody's going to hear. But that was there.
That is so interesting. And they're little, you know, they're innocent compared to someone's older.
Right.
They were worried that somebody would hear all the bad things. Oh, I'm such a bad person.
Right. Well, thank God, you know, they've got that. Some of them have
the
that
sense
sensitivity.
Of
the, yeah.
Sensitivity.
I like when they cry, you know. I had a couple of I don't really.
The little kids?
Right. Yes, of course. I have some of them that do.
Wow.
No, I had one little girl, not last night, but one started to cry, but I immediately, you know, maybe it's a look on my face, I don't know, but
none of that.
But I immediately, assured her that, you know, things are going to be okay, don't worry. But but I had a child a couple of years, I don't know, it was last year or the year before, but she cried through the whole confession.
Wow.
Every time she told her sin, her lips would start quivering, and then she's had to, you know, get the sin out.
See, you know, it's funny. Just as we're talking, I could see maybe somebody say, wow, why would you do that to a child? Oh, my, how can you sit there and say that's a good thing? But you know what? If you look at it, it's a very good thing. It's not like you're abusing or making fun, but the fact that a child has that kind of
sensitivity. Absolutely.
Think about that, and that's what's wrong now. So many people don't have that sensitivity anymore.
Exactly.
So
I'm desensitized.
There you go, Father. Yes.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I've said this before. How many times do I say on the radio I've said this before? I just feel like I'm
just keep
repeating myself. But I, Art Linkletter, way back when.
Kids.
Yeah, that the kids say the
darndest things.
The darndest things. I guess you can't. Is that a bad word, you know?
No, darn.
They said that. In those days, it was darndest. You know, they say that.
It's better than the alternative.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then later, a couple of decades later, Bill Cosby had a show. He tried to do a repeat of that show. And I happened to, and then what they would do is they would, during the show, they would go back to the original.
Sure.
And you could see the difference in the children.
Yeah.
At the time that Art Linkletter had the show, there was this genuine innocence.
Yes.
A beautiful, beautiful innocence, a beautiful childlikeness, you know. As by the time Bill Cosby had the show, the kids were really sarcastic.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but there was a certain sarcasm. Now, I have to say that And I was just, we were just speaking this morning about that. Our kids are really good. They're good. And our kids have an innocence about them. And I think it's, well, they're in a Catholic school, and we don't, we're not trying to. It's interesting. I would even say that because you know often the church is accused of brainwashing, right?
Right.
But the society is brainwashing. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on. Even the march yesterday with the kids and the protest about the guns.
I was thinking about that same
thing. And I don't want to get into that whole issue because I mean it's. But you know, it's the kids are the force. Who's inciting them to this kind of protest? I think it's certainly what happened was a tragedy, and there are many ways to deal with that. But to politicize the whole thing and to bring these children into the politicizing, so that they're with their banners, and I mean some of the stuff you know that I saw and that I heard was you know this wasn't coming from the children. Sure. This is coming from
adults.
The adults,
they're
the teachers,
or those
they're being used. Yes. They're being used.
And they're being taught to say these things. And then if you ask them why, or
they don't
know what to say because they don't even know themselves what it really is about.
No,
I have no idea.
You know, you think about people that say, the church brainwashes. I mean, just look at what we just said. I mean, just look at how the kids are being used by the teachers, by the people that are doing this.
Sure.
It's the same thing. And one would say, okay, the church does this, but they don't see what society does.
You know,
and it's sad.
Yeah, yeah. So there is in life indoctrination.
Yes.
So if we have religious faith, which has endured the test of time, certainly, we have religious faith. We have an obligation, we feel, to indoctrinate, to teach, in other words, to teach what? Our students, the Ten Commandments, to teach them to pray, bring them to know God, to love God, to serve God. But the freedom is theirs, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, in fact, you know, so we have confirmation next week. So I just did all the interviews for our confirmandi yesterday. And none of them reinforced into confirmation. It says, okay, you were baptized as babies. You couldn't make the choice, you know, for the faith. But I always ask the students, or I mention this sometimes at baptisms, because people will say, why do you Catholics, you baptize infants, you know? They can't make a decision for Christ. And so my response is always, well, you know, did you choose your parents? Did you choose your mother and father? And of course, the response is no. None of us did. Mm-hmm. None of us chose our mothers and our fathers, right? I said no. They chose us. But really, it goes back to this: that God chose us. We didn't choose God. God chose us. God chose that God loved us into life. So if we believe that God is life, that we come from God, we go to God, and God we live, then naturally we would be foolish not to baptize the children, to bring them into this this mystical body of Christ, that they be cleansed of original sin and brought into the family of God, basically, if we believe in God, and we do. And then by the time they are confirmed, then they're at an age now where they can confirm that faith. In other words, they decide. In fact, we had a child a couple of years ago who said she didn't want to be confirmed. Mm-hmm. You know, I spoke with her extensively and had to respect her decision, you know. Are the parents forcing them, you know? Well, I'm certain the parents have a lot of pressure, but parents should have certain pressure, a lot of pressure over their students, but to relegate that authority to your educators, especially in the area of the political stuff and religious stuff and all that. I mean, if parents choose to bring their children to a Catholic school, they know there's going to be this religious indoctrination. But even so, it's not forced on anybody. And if a child doesn't want to go to Mass, they don't have to go to Mass. Everybody does. But as I mentioned the other day, one of the students said, "Why do I have to go to confession?" I says, "No, you don't have to go to confession. That's your choice. We provide the opportunity, the space, and this is why we do it." And of course, you know, she did. She did. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so it's.
But it shows you what's going on in the home.
Right.
And they're not being taught. Because if you were, I don't know, it's just so complicated with everything that's going on today.
It's the society is complicated, and we're inundated with all kind of information. But the fact is that, you know, we're going to be indoctrinated somehow or another, mm-hmm. one way or another. And do we allow that indoctrination, you know, to come from parents? And if the parents have religious faith and, you know, we're in the faith of our ancestors, we have an obligation to teach, to inculcate mm-hmm. the faith. That's an indoctrination, isn't that indoctrination?
Sure.
But again, the freedom is for the, well, you can't argue that because, you know, there's a natural rebellion that happens often in the lives of teenagers or young adults when they begin to question, you know, whereas before they accept, you know, they don't question, and then now they begin to.
But it's so interesting how at the beginning of the show, how times have changed. Like back then when we were younger, I remember when we were being prepared for the sacraments, it'd be reconciliation or communion or confirmation, and we were so excited. We couldn't even wait till the day.
Right.
And after we did, we were so happy, full of joy. We were so proud, you know, a good pride.
Sure.
And now it's, I don't know, it's so different.
It's like no one would ever think, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah,
I would never think
of anyone saying, oh, I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, like you said.
Well, they're inundated with so much information.
Yes.
And it goes back to what you're saying, if the faith really isn't being practiced in the home, then it is a challenge. And, you know, the Catholic school it's not only a religious institution that teaches reading, writing, and arithmetic, and religion, and we pray, and we go to Mass, but it's also, it's one of the safest environments mm-hmm. for children. Even, you know, some people say, wow, but look at the scandals, but even there's a whole study that was done after all this. It's still I read that it's the safest environment for students today in our society, in the culture. And so a lot of people, because we have a lot of non-Catholic students, they come because it's safe. It's a beautiful school. They know they're going to get good education. And they're not going to have to deal with a lot of this other stuff. The alternative indoctrination that is coming so often through the would you say state-run schools or the public schools, whatever. Anyway, I'm public school educated, but mm-hmm. In those days, you know, we were taught the Bible.
Right.
We were taught the Bible. We were taught the Ten Commandments. We prayed in school when I was a child in the public school. Because that's what you did. We were basically a Judeo-Christian nation. Yeah. All that has radically changed. So anyway, we've got to take a break. But they're happy. These kids are very excited about their Holy Communion.
Good.
They were a little nervous about the confession, which is normal.
That's normal. Yeah.
But they're very happy about the Holy Communion. And it just was so nice for the parents, you know, to come up. So they bring their child up. I talk to them a little bit. He or she introduces me. This is my mother, my father, my grandmother. That one family had they had aunts and uncles and grandma and
cool.
mom and dad and brothers and sisters and cousins. It was just a very beautiful, mm-hmm. very, very nice people.
And you know what's beautiful too, Father? Sometimes when I go to a confession, wherever I go, when I see families, parents bringing their children to confession, I think that's so beautiful. That they continue.
Well, you know, in the Polish community, immigrant Poles, when I was at St. Hyacinth's, even before the children were in catechetical instruction, before they were sent to catechism or to the Catholic school, the parents were already preparing them for confession and would bring them for their first confession.
Right.
which when you think about it, should be.
It should start from
home. They're the parents are the first educators.
Sure.
They're the first catechists. So, but unfortunately, and we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about this. But things have changed. The winds have changed.
Yes.
And it's the horse of a different color, right?
Yes, what over
the world today is. Anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
Today is the National Day of Prayer. Winds of Change invite you to spend part of this day in prayer before our Lord in the iconic monstrance at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change, one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. So the So we're talking about, the winds of change. By the way, speaking of the protest or the march that was so politicized yesterday, and that's why I didn't even mention it, didn't want to in any way participate in that kind of politicizing, because that's basically what it is. But there was and nobody ever brought it up here, by the way. Our students, nobody, the question wasn't even raised.
Good.
So, but there was a Catholic high school, Fenwick High School, and I heard on the news, it was a talk radio in the morning, that they, what they did is they took that 17 minutes, and again, it was a month since the killing at the high school in Florida. So there's a tragedy, and but to politicize it, that's what I'm saying, to use the kids for the politicize. But they took 17 minutes, gathered the students in the, I don't know if it was in the chapel or in the auditorium, and they prayed the rosary.
Wow.
Beautiful.
They prayed the rosary for the victims and for a resolution to the problem, whatever. It's a complex, the thing is, it's so complex, but anyway. But speaking of, times have changed and all that, and again, we don't want to be, woe is me, or woe are we.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear that a lot in the gospel, in a rightful way.
Yeah.
Jesus will, because it was that. What was that first reading on Sunday from the Book of Chronicles? How the people, they mocked the messengers of God, they despised the warnings, they scoffed at the prophets, and God became angry. He withdrew his support, and the people lost their status as a nation. They were sent into exile because what did they do? They squandered the Sabbath. You know, might get into that, but I mean, this is a very powerful image. Just going back into the Old Testament, because, you know, again, there's nothing new under the sun, and there are consequences if we, in our pride, decide we don't need God, or we're going to recreate God in our image and likeness. You know, then we get become guilty of all kinds of abominations, and we make what was considered sinful or abnormal becomes normal. Mm-hmm. Virtuous life becomes scoffed at often. But anyway, we'll maybe get into that. But this book that just came out, now you know what the I generation is, right?
No.
We talked about that.
Is the me generation? Like
no. I don't know.
Or iPhone?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't certain. You know, I always get confused. Like the millennials, the iGens,
the X generation.
I think they're all
X generation, right? But anyway, this there's a book that came out. Well, first of all, you know, there's this. I was reading this commentary. It's from thosecatholicmen.com, which is really good. They've got articles for men, for women too. But I mean, they're directing their attention to men because, in fact, there is a crisis in
manhood
today, and we have to look at that at some point as well. So, but they had there's a nice article. It's called 10 Tips to Beat Loneliness, Depression, Suicide, and the Loss of Faith. It was posted by Mr. Bob Sullivan, but in the beginning he speaks about the Saint Pope John Paul II, who wrote about the internet, and he called it the Areopagus of modern times. In other words, that was when Paul went into the to pagan, into the Greek, into the stadium, mm-hmm. and he's proclaiming to people a Christ Jesus, you know, the God that they did not know. I think of Jesus, you know, moving into the Decapolis, you know, across the Sea of Galilee, into the pagan territory. You know, it's just always fascinating. You know, and it was there that the demons, they knew who he was, but he began to, because primarily he was there for the Israelites because they had to get the message. You know, they had to understand because they were the people of the covenant. But anyway, Pope John Paul II spoke about the internet, that the church is not only called upon to use a mass media to spread the gospel, but today more than ever to integrate the message of salvation into the new culture that these powerful means of communication create and amplify. Now, this is Pope John Paul II. He prophetically said also that the communications media can be used to proclaim the gospel or to reduce it to silence within men's hearts, to silence the gospel within men's hearts. And it seems that the latter is happening as the upper hand. That is, mm-hmm. that the silence, the gospel is being silenced within the hearts of men. And so this is an article, a commentary based on a book. It's called The I Generation, Why Today's Super Connected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood, and What That Means for the Rest of Us. That's the name of the book by a woman, a doctor, her last name is Twang. Hmm. Twang. So it's just, the book was evidently just published, or was published in 2017. But what we're seeing is that so the I generation are those Americans born in 1995 and later. Mm. They've grown up in a culture which is saturated with instant information, mm-hmm. constant contact, and the ceaseless hum of electronics. At the same point, in 2001 or 2012, smartphones became the communication tool of choice over a half of the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So newspapers had given way to television. Television had given way to computers and the internet. Computers have now given way to the smartphone. And she did this whole analysis, was analyzing data from numerous studies, surveys, and other sources. And what she discovered is a sudden and rapid increase in dissatisfaction, depression, and suicide among teenagers, which starts at about the same time the majority of Americans owned a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Technology, especially the smartphone, is linked to higher rates of loneliness, unhappiness, depression, and suicide risk, as she discovers.
Mm-hmm.
She also looked at, you know, such factors as the economy or other world events and found no correlation. And just if I can find these statistics, the more time a teen spends with technology, the higher the rate of loneliness, unhappiness, depression, suicide risk. She believes that the teenagers are in the midst of the worst mental health crisis in decades, and this is due to technology. I concur with that. Not even knowing the study, sure. I concur with that.
You see it.
Mm-hmm. The earlier they start, the more serious the problems.
Mm-hmm.
The average teenage girl checks her smartphone 80 times per day.
Wow. I can imagine.
Can you imagine? 80 times per day, the average teenage girl. 10% of Americans are using antidepressants compared to 5% in the mid-1990s.
Wow.
Mm. She says that more time on social media is more likely to value... The more you spend on social media, the more you value individualistic attitudes and less likely to value community involvement. Heavy users of social media are 45% more likely to believe it's important to own expensive material things such as new cars, vacation homes, and they are 14% less likely to say they think about the social issue affecting the nation and the world, and that social media has a negative impact on a Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm.
18-year-olds currently spend an average of 7.5 hours per day on some form of technology, often multitasking between different types of media, such as texting, Snapchatting. What is Snapchatting?
Your niece. No, a Snapchat, you take pictures.
You explain this one because I'm not too sure.
They just got me on that.
Yes.
So what is it?
So it's a type of social media that you could take a picture or video. You share it on there, everybody sees it, and it only lasts 24 hours, and then it's gone.
Uh-huh.
Then they got all these little filters you can do to the picture. You can do all kinds of stuff.
Add different things to the pictures. Add a little, like, animal.
Eyes.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Well, it's interesting, and I think it's a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. It turns out that Pope John Paul II was right on the money when he cautioned that it could reduce the gospel to silence within men's hearts.
Yes.
It isn't so much men as it's our children, and especially our daughters. Teenage girls are more likely to be lonely, depressed, and have a higher risk of suicide. Because they spend more time on social media than teenage boys. That doesn't mean teenage boys don't. They do.
Mm-hmm.
And as this article goes on, why would you give smartphone to an 11-year-old boy when he's immediately going to have access to pornography?
Yes.
You know? So we create these addictions at these young ages. Even the children,
Father. You said you saw this 3-year-old, or what was it?
2 years old.
Using the phone.
Yeah. No, you see this all.
I really don't think people really understand. It's just, it's like, you know, it's...
A child does not really need a phone.
So it raises the question: how do you counter this? You know, and she's got some examples, sure. But I just, as I was reading it, I wondered, you know, can we really? It's going to be interesting to see what happens, where this is going to take us.
I think the next year, and this book is a perfect example. I think the next year is we're going to start seeing a lot of these problems coming to the.
One of the things that is, it's funny when my niece uses phones. Now, LOL, what does that mean? Lots of love?
No, laughing out loud.
Oh, laughing out loud.
Okay. Yeah, laughing out loud.
I was wondering about that. I see that LOL.
Yeah.
I think lots of luck or it's lots of laughter.
Yeah, laughing out loud.
Oh, laughing out loud.
Laughing out loud.
Because you can't laugh.
Okay. Anyway.
You don't put ha 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 anymore.
Yeah.
You
right.
put
okay. I still put ha ha ha.
I still put that.
But the one thing that this has affected is that Americans are abandoning organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
They were claiming to be spiritual but not religious, but now they're even moving beyond that.
Yeah. Exactly.
To just simply non-relationship with God.
Their God is the social media.
Which can easily,
right. Yeah. Well, there's
no
space.
I can see that.
It's all.
You know, like you could really see that. If somebody touches their phone 80 times a day, I mean, what else can you say about that phone being the main thing in their lives?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And it's addictive.
It's addictive. We can't deny the fact
that
this is
very
addictive.
And the problem is you use it for work, because I know a lot of people get me on the social media for, like, job-related, you know, they have questions about the church services or can I do this? So but it's also the other.
Yeah. No, it's part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to accept that. Just, you know, how do we put define boundaries or certain parameters?
There has to be a balance.
What is, you know, when does it when do we develop a sensitivity to what is perhaps impolite behavior?
Sure.
With regards to the phone and our interconnectedness, our interrelationship, not only with each other but with God as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Today is the National Day of Prayer. Winds of Change invite you to spend part of this day in prayer before our Lord in the iconic monstrance at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal, but not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And I just got to mention again, I have to keep doing this, you know, I'm sorry, but if we want to stay on the air, we need help, we need assistance. Mm-hmm. We're here to serve you every day. Every weekday, at least, from noon to 1. We've been here for 9 years. We've been with you here on AM 750 WNDZ and worldwide on our live stream and podcasts. Our airtime costs about $6,000 a month. And as I've mentioned, you know, our benefactors, one of our major benefactors passed away in November. She believed so much in what we were doing and really basically built the studio. Rosemary Sullivan, God rest her soul, she was an unbelievable support. Her daughter, Geraldine, as well. They kept us going, really kept us going. But we're now in a bind. We're in a financial bind. And I explained the other day, this is separate from the parish. I've got a responsibility to keep the operating expenses of the parish in the red. Is it red or black?
In the black.
I mean, yeah, you better not put them in the red.
Yeah,
you know,
you'll be sad.
In the black. And so this is a door that opened for us, and because it opened, I walked through the door. So we, you know, we're desperately in need of financial assistance. We have wonderful guests, Mary Fiorito, Father Tom Coys, David Carollo, Jeffrey Hammond, Father Tom Loya, Alex Kuzman, and others, you know. So we need your help. If you can please give us some help, or you know somebody that wants to help us out, visit St. Stan's Church. That's just STANS, ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And click on the radio button, and you can make a secure donation. This will be a blessing to us.
Sure.
Absolutely. So.
And you just mentioned Father Tom Coys. It's his birthday today.
Is it his birthday?
It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Father Tom.
Happy birthday. So he's my age, I think.
Yes.
He might be a year older than I am today.
Yeah.
Or at least for a month. No, because my birthday is in a month.
Yes.
Hope you remember that. And I'm just joking. But so either he's... We're about the same age.
You're about the same age, yeah. So he's
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Father Tom.
Father Tom Coys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we are the same age, aren't we?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So I think Father Loya, I think he's also the same age.
Around the same age, yeah.
You're around.
Or he might be younger.
No, Father Loya is a little older.
Is he?
I think so.
That's so nice to know that there's somebody a little bit older than I am.
Makes you feel good.
Sure does,
But he's around the same age, yeah.
I think he's the same age. Anyway, whatever. Anyway, happy birthday to Father Tom Coys. So going back to the use of the smartphone now, we're just talking about the iGeneration. So the older people of the iGeneration are about 24 years old now. And so they're in the job market, you know, but the point is that just the amount of time that is spent on the smartphone. In this study, what they find is that today's teens are not only the most miserable group in American history, but they're also the least religious.
Mm.
Least religious.
I can really see that.
For decades, Americans have been abandoning organized religion, claiming that they are spiritual, not religious. But now they're even very quickly moving beyond even the idea of being spiritual. It's just as they're just non-religion. They're walking away from the faith of their parents and grandparents, and not just walking away, as she says. They're sprinting away. It's a major, major issue that is going to impact the life of the church. Mm-hmm. It already is,
mm-hmm.
and it will continue well into the future. So let's see what else. Speaking of religious, so in the early 1980s, 90% of high school seniors identified as part of a religious group. By 2016, only 66% identified as part of some religious group, and 33% are just non. They're nothing.
That's sad.
Technology is not the only culprit, but it's also the breakdown of Christianity, the breakdown of the family. 36% of iGeners were born to unmarried mothers, up from 25% during the millennial birth years. What are the millennial birth years, by the way?
Is that from the 80s, 1980s? Millennials?
Is that when they call, is that the millennials?
No, millennials are a lot later on.
Later on?
Yeah,
but the I generation.
Let me check.
I generation. Yeah, check it out because the I generation is 1995.
So that
forward.
I generation's after millennial.
Oh, I would think like the early 90s maybe.
No.
So why do I think of the millennials as people born in
the 80s?
No, in the 2000s. In the new in,
I think the oh, I gens the I think the I gens are a little bit earlier than 95. I think millennials are probably the 90s.
Oh, see, I was right.
Is it 80s?
The millennials.
You're always right.
Wow. Born in the
she's
80s.
She's always. She's
1982 to, oh, that's interesting.
Hmm.
Those are the millennials?
The group as they're born in the 1980s. Wow. 20 years. 1980s.
Well, no, that would make sense because they're the ones, they're in their late 20s and 30s now, right? The
yeah,
millennials.
Yeah. 20s.
30s. So the iGens come after them.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the iGeneration, this is a generation that was
2000s, right? Or no?
Well, here it says 1995 onward.
Okay.
Well, the point is that these are generations mm-hmm. that have been raised on the, or we're really talking about those that are being raised on the smartphone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so as we were saying, you know, I think before the break, but, or maybe during the break, but you see these little children who are just, I mean, those thumbs are just moving.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
They know how to work the smartphone.
Absolutely. See, I can't text because my cell phone is on Spanish. So if I, and I don't carry my phone around, but if I do have to text, mm-hmm. I try to text in English and it translates all automatically into Spanish.
You can switch back and forth.
I know, but I don't do it because I don't want to text,
right.
You know?
I do that's that, the father, and that drives me crazy because I have to constantly...
Going back,
back and forth,
yeah.
Back and forth, it's.
So what do we do about this? It is a problem. I think everybody will agree it's a problem.
Yes.
One of the things that was suggested is no one should sleep near their phone.
No, it's horrible.
You know.
I know.
I had confession time.
Sleeping problems. Well, not because of the phone, but the phone doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't help.
Should not sleep near the phone.
Mm-mm.
Buy an alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
Old-fashioned alarm clock.
My phone is my alarm
clock. Yeah, I know, that's why I say it.
My phone is the alarm clock, too, yeah.
Do not sleep near the phone.
Mm-mm.
Wow, that's smart.
We have to put away our phone when we're with someone in person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That would be polite.
That's mm-hmm. right.
We need to develop an etiquette for the use of the phone.
Unless your little kids at breakfast that will not get off your phone.
You got to. There's a point where we got to say we got to do something because this is it is dangerously addictive,
mm-hmm.
and you know addiction is a hard thing to break.
You know what I do, Father? I come home and if I put the phone down and I charge it, and if I'm going to spend time with my family, I go upstairs and spend time with my parents. I leave the phone
downstairs.
And people are like, "Oh, where?" I'm like, "I was with my family."
Yeah.
And that's my time with my family.
And you believe that people get upset.
Well, see, that's
why didn't you pick up the phone?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is the expectation is there, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, as they say, and we know this, again, it's a no-brainer, but this is supposed to connect people, but it actually creates isolation.
Yes, mm-hmm. and the disconnect from the real world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to put away our phone when we're with someone in person.
Yes.
When we're studying, when we're working, put the phone aside. Moderation. And can you imagine, is this possible? The key is moderation. This means setting limits and restrictions in order to prevent addiction. An hour per day is not only reasonable, it is just below the rate at which negative psychological effects typically appear. So try to tell people to, you know, limit yourself to an hour.
No, it's not possible.
I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. How can you change this? And what does it mean for the future?
Scary.
I don't know.
It's scary.
When I go to Rome, I was thinking about this as I was reading this. I don't go near a computer. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything. I have nothing. I just have the phone in case. I don't carry it with me. I keep it in my room. I'm out and about. And I'll just check to see, and I pray that nobody's called me, you know, or that there's no emergency, because I just do it there, just have it for in the event of an emergency.
And purposely, Father, when you're away on retreat, I don't call you,
right?
For that purpose,
no, I know.
That's, but you know, this article is very interesting, and it's so true because I had one of our parishioners, they sent their children on a retreat to Mexico, and they sent them to a remote area. And right away, they tell them no. They take away their cell phones, their computers. Everything is taken away, and they're teenagers.
Right.
And of course, initially they're upset.
Sure.
They want to just go home. Give me my phone back. But at the end of the retreat, it's a week retreat. These teenagers are so it's a religious retreat.
Right.
These teenagers are so happy.
Sure.
To be there, and they don't want to go home. They don't want their phones back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like a different person.
Well, you know, and that's even, as I even go back, I'm just about out of time, but even when I was in Mexico and we had students come, and this is before phones, this is before computer and all that, you know, really. And they just, because they were with families and they were away from television, away from McDonald's and all the fast food, it was like they were
being punished or tortured.
Hyperventilating. But again, by the time it was over, they didn't want to go back because they learned something very beautiful about life and about relationships.
And they were happier.
Happier. So it's a mad, think about that, you know, just, that's why I say we've got to develop some kind of an etiquette.
I think that's the key. When people start realizing that there are issues, that's when it's going to start.
Well, it's kind of a no-brainer already, isn't it? So anyway, well, we're out of time. Thanks for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have truth left unsold. The truth left unsold.